Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. All four Gospels tell the story of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Today, through the eyes of John, we'll see the risen Christ reveal himself to the disciples, beginning with Mary Magdalene. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're reliving the events marking the death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus has been laid in a tomb, and Mary Magdalene is there weeping. Turn with us to John chapter 20 as Erwin Lutzer brings more of Jesus raised for us.
She is weeping. She's not interested in whom she is, to whom she is speaking. All that she can do is to say, "My Lord is gone. Where can I find his dead body?" Has any woman ever wept like this woman? Has any woman ever loved like this woman? Has anyone ever cared as deeply about as this woman did? And so she is in despair. Now the Bible says that she was standing next to Jesus and didn't know it. Verse 14, having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, just as the angels had, "Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will come and take him away." Mary is standing beside Jesus in her gloom and in her despair. She does not recognize him. She thinks he is the gardener. Isn't it wonderful that Mary didn't find what she was looking for? She was looking for the dead body of Jesus. Tragic if she had found what she was looking for. God had something else in mind for her, namely, not a dead Christ, but a resurrected one. And you here today may not be here what you were looking for. You may be looking for simply a sermon that inspires you or beautiful music that inspires you. And you didn't know that God brought you to this moment, to this hour, to the seat in which you are seated to give you something much better than you thought you would ever get. And that is to connect with a risen Lord Jesus Christ. Why was it that Mary didn't recognize him? Well, she didn't recognize him because she was so overcome with her grief and so overcome with her gloom that she couldn't see Jesus, though he was beside her. It's very interesting. She tells Jesus, "Tell me where you have laid him, and I will come and take him away." I mean, Mary, get real. Really? You're going to take him away? Honestly? Did she actually think that she had the physical power to be able to take the dead body of Jesus? My friends, this is love being optimistic. This is love saying, "I love him so much, I can do the impossible." And so she wants to ask the gardener, "Where did you put him?" Right then, Jesus says to her, "Mary." Oh, the voice. It is him. I remember him. It is Jesus. And the Bible says that Mary takes and puts her arms around his legs and will not let him go because she has found the Savior. Interestingly, she said to the gardener, when she thought he was only a gardener, "They have taken away my Lord." She still called him Lord at that time, though he was dead. God bless her. But now he's alive. And she says, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." It's a strengthened form of the word rabbi. And she holds him there. It's interesting that Jesus says to her, "Mary, stop clinging to me, because I've not yet ascended to my Father." What Jesus was really saying is, "Mary, you need to understand something. You need to realize that I'm still going to be here because I haven't ascended to my Father." Jesus knew that he was going to do that in 40 days' time. So what he's saying is, you simply realize that you'll have an opportunity to see me. But Mary, there's something else you have to learn. And what you need to learn is that our relationship is going to change. No longer are you going to think of me as an earthly person. You're going to have to think about me as a heavenly person. So I would say, first of all, this experience for Mary was a learning experience. She had to realize something, that when Jesus would ascend into heaven to be with his Father, he would then send forth the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would give us the same intimacy with Jesus that Mary had when she was here on earth. That's the work of the Holy Spirit of God. To bring the reality of Jesus, not just to one person, but to people scattered all over the world, whether in China or India or the continent of Europe or South America, wherever they are found, if they believe in Jesus and trust him, they can have the same kind of fellowship that Mary had. So Mary, you have to realize here that our relationship is beginning to change. It was a learning experience. But let me tell you, it was also a very affirming experience. This ought to bless anyone. Notice what Jesus said. He said, woman, he said, first of all, he says, stop clinging to me. Verse 17, I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Wow. I mean, talk about affirmation. What he's saying is, Mary, I want you to be the first witness, really, to the resurrection. I want you to tell my brothers, that is to say, my disciples, that I'm raised from the dead. I want you to tell them what I've just told you, that I'm going to be ascending to my Father who is in heaven. Jesus was so radically countercultural when it came to women. In those days, the testimony of a woman was not even accepted in court, of all things. They were definitely second-class citizens. And here Jesus says, I am entrusting to a woman the most important message that the church will ever hear, namely of my resurrection. Now, of course, later on, the disciples met Jesus for themselves. But at this point, it was given to Mary, a woman, and not just any woman, a woman who had been very troubled woman at one point in her life. Can you imagine the affirmation? But it doesn't end there. Jesus said, go tell my brothers that I'm ascending to your Father and my Father. Now, if you and I share fathers, if we have the same Father, we are brothers. And what Jesus was saying to her is, yes, my disciples are my brothers, most assuredly, but you now, Mary, are my sister. You're my sister. Because I'm ascending to your Father and my Father. I don't know whether or not Mary Magdalene had a family. The Bible doesn't indicate that she was married. I don't know whether or not she had siblings. I don't know whether or not her parents were alive, and even if they were, whether she was living with them. But at this moment, that didn't matter that much because she had become a part of a more important family, the family of God. And she would be a sister to the Lord Jesus Christ and a daughter of the living God. Obviously, also, it was also a very redeeming experience, wasn't it? It was redeeming. We have to back off for just a moment and ask ourselves, how did Mary Magdalene get from point A to point B? How does a woman who is inhabited and struggles with voices and darkness and evil spirits, how does she get from point A to point B, being a daughter of God and being used by God? How does that process work? I'd like to suggest that there are some elements that are very important because we need to know how the process works because we're in the same predicament. Oh, our details may change, but we need to know too how we can be reconciled to God. First of all, her relationship with God was a very honest relationship. She knew who she was. She knew that there was no way that she could cure herself. No way to get rid of the demons. No way to have her conscience cleansed from her sins. No way to have the self-condemnation and the self-hate stop. She would need help. She would need a savior. And I'm speaking to you very candidly today. If you and I think that we do not need a savior, if we have learned to manage our sins, and if we are content with the way we are, then Jesus is of no value to us, because we bear our sin on our own, and it becomes a messy, ugly experience. So she was very honest. She knew that she had a need, no question about it. Secondly, I would say that her relationship was very personal. Don't you love it that Jesus spoke her name? Jesus said, Mary. Talk about a personal relationship. And I need to tell you today that if your relationship with Jesus is not that personal, you will not be saved. Oh, we don't hear our names. I've never heard my name spoken by Jesus. But I know through the study of the Word and my own fellowship with God that Jesus and I are intimate, and there are hundreds and hundreds of you who can say the very same thing. You see, people don't get saved in bundles. It's not something that you grow into. It's not something that you are baptized into. You must personally receive Christ as Savior as an individual, understanding what you are doing. That's the way in which we are saved. And that leads me to the question whether or not you are saved. Don't take for granted the fact that you are saved. You don't become saved by baptism or even making a commitment as such. You are saved by believing the gospel, by entrusting your entire soul, your future, your eternity into the hands of Jesus. And the uniqueness of the Christian faith is this, that the Jesus in whom we believe loves us, but furthermore, his death was a sacrifice for sins so that we might be saved. You know, perhaps you know a university student who attends college, and he says, he or she, well, other religions have a sacrifice too. They believe in a sacrifice of blood. Christianity is no different. Oh yes, Christianity is different. Because in Christianity, God becomes the sacrifice. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. No other religion has that. No other religion has a God who suffers and who redeems others because of his own suffering and his own work. Oh yes, there are those, you know, who bring sacrifices. In Christianity, God becomes the sacrifice. Jesus is the priest. Jesus is the sacrifice. He is both. He is unique, but because of him, we can believe the gospel and be saved. Why don't you just take time to make sure that you have come to saving faith in Christ? If you're driving a car, pull it off on the side of the road. Be careful, but bow your head and pray. And accept the Jesus who died on behalf of sinners.
Erwin Lutzer with more of Jesus Raised for Us. Next time, take a personal assessment of your relationship with Jesus. For Us is a 5-part series we'd like you to have on CD. It's our gift to you in gratitude for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.